Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are Aesop Science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about mysterious cannabis syndrome. It is on the rise in Canada and other places where weed has been legalized. It's from the overconsumption of marijuana. There's a lot of new information and research about it. We'll get into it. But first, we're going to talk about new research into the vegan diet, as well as a type of Taiwanese kung fu that involves your testicles.
What?
Yeah, just you wait, babes.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
It is, like, actually so interesting, and I really, it made me want to work out my balls. Okay.
What?
Just you wait, babes. Just, I think I'd be good at it, to be honest, if I'm being honest. There was one kung fu I was going to do. It would be this one.
Okay, cool.
So let's do a little, you know, a little get into it before we get into the science, just to like ease people into the episode. So what is up?
It's almost Christmas.
Yeah, okay. So Mitch
it's
is
almost the holidays.
Mitch has
don't offend anyone. No, I'm kidding. Obviously.
Whoa.
And the all right on this pod.
Someone's been.
Wow. Am I allowed to say Christmas?
Okay. Wow, I'm like actually scared for you. He's obsessed with Reddit too. It's like, I wonder where it's all coming from. But you are obsessed with Christmas. It's some might say like a disorder. Like fresh in the morning, first things first, like it's like November 28th, and I'm just like, Mitch.
Well, I as I've gotten older, I just am realizing it takes so long for me to get fully in the Christmas mood because I'm like stressed and like preoccupied and thinking about other things. And every other year Christmas comes and I'm just like, oh, I didn't have time to like really get into the spirit and like get ready mentally. And it comes and goes so fast.
It's so funny because I'm realizing
I'm like, I need to start earlier and listen more often and engage more often so that hopefully by the time Christmas comes, I'll be like, I'm ready to move on.
Before we started, I was like, should we talk about how you're into Christmas? You're like, we always talk about that. I was like, no, we don't. And then as we're saying this, I'm like, oh yeah, we definitely already talked about this. Like, it is like so
That's
funny.
That's not what I said we always talk about. You wanted to talk about the weather being bad and dark and gloomy. I was like, we always talk about that.
Okay, well, both of these things. Wow. No, I'm just like thinking because I was like, oh yeah, I remember thinking about how we need to do an episode that maybe Christmas is just not the way it used to be. And I think we should do that like around the late December. Like, is it just age?
Well, we have to do that now. We can't just keep saying it every early December and then never doing it.
No, look, well, no, like make it hit on December 18th. Like when everyone's really into
that's
the
in
Christmas
like 2 weeks
spirit.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We'll do it in 2 weeks. Yeah. But it is gray in Toronto. And I do think it's worth talking about. I think it is extremely challenging to live in a city where the sun has not come out for 5 days and it might not come out for another five. I think it's worth talking about. I bring it up with everyone on the TTC, Uber drivers, everyone's a little bit like, okay, like you're, but I'm like, it is unique.
Yeah. And on top of it all, like the sun is already some people might be thinking, oh, it's just because you're getting less sun. You know, like in this time of the year, the sun comes up later and goes down earlier. Fine. No, what you're not realizing maybe if you're not from here is that also there's just clouds all the time.
It's giving
London.
So
not only is the sun, you know, not coming up till 8 a.m., it actually doesn't even look like it's up because it's so dark
outside. The sun has not broken through a cloud. And let me tell you, I've been staring in days. And it's also just like, I don't know. There's not even snow. Like, at least snow is like...
brings the season spirit.
It's just like, this is depressing.
And there's nothing I feel weirder about than having lights on inside in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Yeah. It freaks me out. It's just kind of like the mood's not right. Like, lights are really cute in the evening when you're like, ooh, mood lighting when it's dark. But when it's like, bright outside, but not bright enough that you need your lights on inside, I feel like that's a disturbing space to be.
Vitamin D is being popped in the household. The UV light is coming out. And you're right. I've been putting lights on because the sun is not working. The sun is not piercing Toronto.
The sun is down. Name that reference, listeners. Call in and let us know for 76,000. I keep hearing this thing on the radio that's like they've got to guess the five special voices in the like jingle, and it's like for every week it goes up 1,000 and they're at like 80,000. And every time I keep thinking I'm gonna listen to, like, I happen to be in the car and they'll be like, for $86,000, who are the five voices? And people have to call in and like figure
out. What do you mean the five voices?
They've like made a jingle that's like, and it's a chop up of
famous people's voices. Oh. Well, we just sang a song that was Yoko Ono and Lady Gaga. And those would be two good guesses.
Well, I mean, assuming it sounds like them.
Well, I mean, they would just be good choices for, like, Yoko Ono is a good one for, like, a radio station. Because everyone who listens to radio is so basic, they're never going to think of Yoko Ono. I'm kidding.
So cruel to
everyone. I'm kidding. This is radio. We're on the radio.
Okay, we're going to move on.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Before you bully our audience anymore. The Australians are gone. They're like, who else is here?
The Swifties are gone. Everyone from Britain's gone.
And now everyone who listens to radio.
Now everyone who listens to radio, which might be podcast, is gone. So we're pretty screwed. Okay, I want to do mine first because it's about balls and dicks. And Taiwan, where we just were. So I kind of wish I knew this before we went there, because I don't know if I would have partaken in this. I probably wouldn't have. I'll just continue to talk. So on October 29th, the year 2000, three men used their penises to pull a flatbed delivery truck across a part of Taipei parking lot.
What?
So that sounds really intense, but it's because it's actually part of this Taiwanese / Chinese kung fu.
Moving on.
Called Diao Gung. Do not quote me on that. It's a tonal language. I'm just going to do it a bunch of different ways. Diao Gung. Okay, whatever. So what you do is you wrap a ribbon around where your balls and dick meet your abdomen. So it's not, I was picturing.
Where your balls and dick meet your abdomen.
Yeah, like a cock ring, some might think.
But around the balls too.
Yeah. So like when the headline said pulled with their penises, I kind of also thought.
Do cock rings go around the balls too?
Okay, sorry. I don't actually know.
Part of me was like,
Whoa, should we do an episode on cock rings?
Yeah.
Cause like,
or just like.
No offense, Earth, but we haven't had to use one yet, but we will. We're gay men. It's like, it's coming.
I've thought about it.
Like, once we're...
I'm curious.
Okay, well, stay tuned for our... It'll be not before the Christmas season. It'll be a New Year's cock ring episode. Cock ring energy, but maybe not, because I don't know if cock rings goes on balls. We will let you know in a future episode. But ribbon around balls and dick so that your package is kind of like bundled up.
Okay.
And then you hang metal plates from the ribbon and the kung fu... It's like... That mixed with meditation and breathing, and you add weights until you like go higher up in the levels of this type of kung fu.
Mm-hmm. Oh, whoa. This is like a specific style. Sorry.
Yeah. It's like there's an overarching type of kung fu. Again, like of all.
And this is like one of the practices.
My Irish ass should not be talking about this, but like there's a type. There's like seven tenets to it. And like one of the tenets is this like penis ball thing. Anyways, these people. Like we're the masters of it. So the three of them got together and then were able to pull a flatbed truck with it.
Well, that's even just kind of impressive because it's like, if I got two of my friends together, I don't even think we could move a vehicle.
Well,
like maybe
we could. You couldn't move a vehicle. No, you couldn't do it. You haven't done kung fu for years.
I know. I mean, on top of the fact that they're doing their genitals,
with your hands.
And like with my body.
Oh, I thought you were like, oh, me and my two friends couldn't pull it with our dicks.
No,
like,
I know. I don't even know if me and two friends could like push one or pull one.
Exactly. I think that's the point of the, you know, only in this part of Taiwan, Taipei, where we just work, could this happen. And it made me be like, obviously, I'm not going to like become good at this, but imagine if when we were in Taiwan, they were like, there's classes. Like, it would have been fascinating to try. That would have been an amazing story to come home and be like, that's by the way, true. I lifted like a 5-pound plate with my dick and balls and a ribbon.
What you made me think about, like, as you kind of said, it was like intertwined with meditation and stuff. This is just like a little aside. What did you learn this week? Because I actually learned this week. I was listening to Michael Pollan, the guy who always talks about like shrooms and like.
Yeah. We know him. Daddy science daddy.
He was saying like you can elicit a similar response to taking psilocybin by like certain breathing exercises. He's like, you end up like hyperventilating. Like it like is a really intense breathing exercise that he's done once. And he was like, it was a similar experience, but I'm like, I'm still way too afraid.
You hear that? That's so
he was on a podcast that the Happiness Lab featured like the most like this week or last or something.
He did it.
He said he's tried it. I think. Yeah.
But he actually reached the hallucination. That seems so hard. That seems like...
Yeah, he's like, you're like depriving your brain of oxygen or something like that. But wow. maybe he was saying... I don't know if he said like he fully experienced it, but he was just like...
Like if he did, that's really impressive because it's sort of like... Doesn't that seem like Buddhist monk energy like to get there?
Yeah. To be like that high off of just breathing.
Like usually he just writes books after he like does LSD, which is like a lot easier than like... You know what I mean? Like years of what
sorry,
I can
don't
imagine.
Quote me then. Maybe I misheard him. He probably was just talking about other people's experiences.
That is so Instagram reels. Like some like... jacked guy with a beard and no body fat like breathing weirdly and then like hyperventilating
like,
to music.
Want to get high? Breathe with me.
Or it's like more like, and then I reached nirvana and he's like, I don't know, looks like a caveman. I get a lot of that now. It's like, I need to stop like looking at like workout videos. I saw one yesterday. It was like a guy jumping off. It was like highest death jump and it was just like this caveman looking man like jumping off
into the water
and he like threw a rock ahead.
I saw that too.
Oh no, is it because I started using Reddit? And then we both saw it on Reddit.
Possibly.
Are we becoming like an incel bond?
No.
I'm kidding. But like, why are we both looking at cavemen jumping into water?
Well, I think it was a really popular video. It just came up on my feed.
And then I kind of was like, the rock broke the surface area. Like, yeah.
Surface tension?
Surface tension, sorry.
Still, he jumped from like 100 meters.
But they called it like the death jump because he kind of did land in like a belly flop, which obviously would kill him, but he threw the rock before, so I guess that's
anyways
that's so off topic.
I'll reel it back for my actual
yes please. I don't want anyone to know I ever saw
of
that.
Those bros, there's a new study about vegan diets. This was from this year and it's interesting because they took 22 pairs of twins, and twin studies are always interesting because you can remove the bias of like home environment, genetics.
If you
lifestyle.
Are a twin, a scientist is coming for you.
Loves you. Yeah, wants like you, needs you.
Go to the nearest university and just be like, what's up?
So in this study, one twin in each pair was given a vegan diet and one was put on an omnivore diet. They did this for 8 weeks. Both diets were like healthy, considered like even the omnivore diet had lots of vegetables, legumes, fruits, whole grains, and both tried to like minimize sugars and refined starches. So okay. Like they were like, okay, these are both healthy diets. We'll see what happens to them.
Okay.
In the first 4 weeks they were given their meals, and in the second 4 weeks they were asked to just like continue on their own, but document everything.
And the vegan kept going.
They both, yeah. Like you had to keep your thing for 8 weeks. And what they found was that the vegan diet had significantly lower low-density lipoprotein cholesterol, lower insulin levels, and they lost, like their body weight went down more, all of which were associated with improved cardiovascular health.
Wow.
So both groups did see improvement, but it was kind of like the vegan group saw more. I saw some debate in this. It was like weird that the vegan group actually consumed less calories, which isn't like that surprising.
No, but that doesn't seem smart for the study.
Well, they tried to manage like them being at 1600 plus or minus like 500 calories, something like that.
Oh, okay.
So they were, because obviously it's like difficult to manage down to the exact amount, but
yeah,
that was one criticism of the study. But then the other side of it was like, well, maybe when you're on a vegan diet you naturally don't feel the need to eat as much, because on average they think we're like eating 200 less calories a day.
Like, you know when you have like a cashew cheese and you're like, well, I don't need to eat for weeks, I'm gonna, all
yeah,
I'm
and if you're
like,
eating like a lot of veggies are like nuts. Like you probably yeah. stay full longer, but still that was maybe one flaw of the study where they were like, of course that might be interesting, but it's not necessarily saying that the food itself is the difference. Like a calorie difference could still make a change in your body.
Also obviously. 8 weeks doesn't seem that long, but it is obviously long enough to make a difference, which is
yeah. And they saw pretty like for both groups, they saw pretty significant cardiovascular changes.
Wait, why for both groups?
Well, because they were switched to like healthy diets and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Like the omnivores had to be healthy.
Yeah, they were put on like very healthy diets. Yeah.
Wow.
But still, ultimately the vegan group won.
Yeah.
In this respect.
Like yeah. Ding, ding, ding. You won. That is, I don't know. For some reason, I thought it would take longer than 8 weeks. That's cool.
No, I think that's what they were trying to say is like yeah. 8 weeks of a change in diet. Like this is, I think any major change in a diet over 8 weeks will change your body, obviously, and what's going
but
on.
But it
inside,
makes you realize it's cool. Like people could, if they don't want to be vegan forever, knowing they could do it for 8 weeks and have significant changes probably feels good for some people.
Yeah.
Who like can't commit to like forever.
True. Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely like, I don't know. I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just thinking about twins and I'm like, if I was a twin, I feel like I would want to do these types of things all the time.
You could probably
like be like, let's change this and then go to the doctor. Let's change this. And then, like, it would just be like so interesting. It'd be like, yeah. How much of this is.
Yeah. It'd be cool to be a twin.
I know.
We should get twins on the pod. I'm so curious about twin perspectives.
Yes.
You know, like, do you love it or do you hate it? Could you say if you hate it out loud? You know, like, would a twin ever say that? Or would they just not ever hate it?
No, I think, like, everything in life, they would be like, these are the positives and these are the negatives. These are the challenges and these are the rewards.
Okay, so we don't need to do the episode.
No, we definitely do because I want to know what those are.
Write it down. Twins.
Twins. Also, we need to still do all meat diet.
Oh.
Because that yeah. made me think of that. Okay. All meat diet twins. And then the one from before was cock rings. Okay. Yeah.
Let's take a little break. We'll keep thinking of all the episodes we're going to do instead of you having to hear us.
My God.
And we'll be back with... what was it called? Cannabis syndrome?
Mysterious cannabis syndrome. Oh my God.
What?
You're like, was it called?
No, okay. Greg's going to lead this one. I'll tell you why in a minute. But
because
we'll
I have it. Okay, bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
So, new disease truly is on the rise. It's called cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome. So it's like a new mysterious syndrome that occurs from the overconsumption of weed,
okay.
And was first described in Australia. Shout out to the country that I love. In the early 2000s, I had a nurse friend. I mean, she's more to that, obviously. She's my good friend, Shanaz, who I've loved forever. She's not just my nurse friend, but who started to talk to me about this, I remember, during COVID. And she was just like...
Really? She knew about it?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
She's like, she was seeing it, was what I mean.
Yeah. She said there's more and more people coming in, and they're like, okay, it's so intense. She told me that they almost felt like they... were like a little psychotic. I shouldn't say that. She was telling me this over wine, being exaggerating, but the key was that people were vomiting. And that is a big part of this. So patients will arrive in the emergency room with violent vomiting. They'll be dehydrated, sometimes lose consciousness. And I think that's what she was talking about. She's like, these people are, she's just like, we don't really know how to handle the way that they're acting. And it created a new word in the medical world called scromiting, which is what? When people are simultaneously vomiting and screaming in pain. They're like, we've got a scromiter.
They're like,
oh, there's a scromiter. There must be a cannabis use disorder. Let's go. Like, it's like, oh my God.
I thought for sure it was going to be more about the scrotum when you said that.
Oh my God. Just like I was vomiting. Like,
I thought they were going to be like, they're vomiting so hard, they're squeezing their scrotums and it's like affecting their body.
Wow. Someone's got the like Taipei balls and ribbon on the mind. So I am going to
come clean and say that I don't know much about what? This. Greg is leaning.
Oh,
this
I thought
episode.
You were going to say that you've scrummeted after.
Well, in my mind, we're also going to talk about what I've looked up. Is like, you know, we often talk about some good elements of marijuana and why it should be legalized and all these things. Like, we're obviously proponents in many ways, users, one might say, but, it's interesting to talk about the negative aspects, yeah. Which we've also done.
This one to me is so fascinating and scary because it's like, it's only in the early 2000s where people started scromiting in the ER. Like, it's like, it's intense.
Scromiting, but do you actually think this condition led to the invention of scromiting?
Well,
like,
that's what Laura, one of the researchers, told me in her study.
Okay. That's what I mean. Like, as someone else said that, because I'm like surprised that scromiting didn't.
It wasn't like existence. That wasn't just gossip with me and my nurse friend Shanaz, who does mean more to me than just being a nurse, but that was more than that. It was in the article. Anyways, okay. The exact cause of this syndrome is not fully known, but as we know with THC and with marijuana, it does make your stomach expand, which is why you get the munchies, but also why cancer patients are given marijuana to help with their appetite.
Expand or like relax? I thought it was like the muscles relax. When they do relax,
they physically expand. So they're obviously like, okay, THC affects your stomach. Then in these higher doses of THC, they're seeing the opposite issue where it's creating nausea. And again, exact reasons not known, but they think THC binds, obviously, to your endocannabinoid system, which regulates sleep, appetite, and mood. And that for some reason, overstimulation of the system has led to like derangements in this body's intrinsic control of nausea and vomiting.
I have a question for you, and I know you're not like going to know every answer, but maybe you'll know this. Is this like just in a moment of getting too high, or is this like because people are consuming weed all the time?
Yeah, so they think that there's a series of escalating effects. Okay.
But like, would this be happening while the person was high though, right? Or would they be like probably between their joints or whatever, and be like, rah!
So the way that they're talking about this is that these are people who are consuming a lot of marijuana to the point that maybe they're never not high.
Okay.
You know, these people exist. I've been a Waken Baker in my life. You know what I mean? Like, okay. There are people who rely on marijuana for their lives. Mm-hmm. I think that is what this is more alluding to. This is not something where it's like, you've never smoked weed, you smoke weed, and then all of a sudden you're scromiting in the ER.
Or I guess you may not have the answer to this. My question was not the differentiation between someone who's doing it for the first time, but even if someone's a chronic user, like, would this be happening after they had weed, or could it be a day where they're not doing weed and they're feeling?
The amount of weed I think that it takes for this to happen, I don't know how often these people are like not having weed.
Okay.
Like, this is talking
presumably
about,
they're high or it's in their system.
Yes.
While this
and
happening.
The reason is that now people are coming to hospital and they're going, let me guess, you smoke or consume weed every day, and they're like, yeah, like that's how the correlation's now been found, and they're trying to figure out what's going on.
And is the condition like acute or chronic?
So it's obviously like the vomiting is like acute, but what will happen is people will try, like, without going to the hospital to kind of deal with it. So one thing they've noticed is people a lot of the times end up going into the bathtub because the actual heat of a bath pulls the blood away from your stomach and towards your skin, and there's a relief in that. Some of them have capsaicin creams that they put on their skin and
just
have,
to like what send the sensitization
the nausea
else.
Goes away and then maybe they're like, that was weird, but they might not be like, oh, they God. Might not realize they have this mysterious
like
cannabis
like,
syndrome.
Oh, am I sick? Did I eat something? But I happen to be high as well.
And so in Ontario, where we live, one study found that emergency admissions of cannabis hyperemesis syndrome had a 13-fold increase between January 2014 and June 2021.
Whoa.
And in Colorado, there was a 29% increase in vomiting-related ER room visits like around marijuana in the last 5 years.
Whoa.
In Alberta, after marijuana was legalized in the province in 2018, the rate of CHS, that's like the short form version. It's slowly increased.
CHS, like, to me, in my mind, is Catholic high school. Because I went.
Wait, twice. Isn't like VH? Oh, no, VHS.
That is also another.
No, CVS is the, like.
The store in America.
The store.
The, like, whatever. It's okay. Not a corner store, but.
So this is CHS. So it started as 15 per every 100,000 people admitted to the ER.
Like back in the day.
That was in 2018.
Okay.
Then by 2020, it jumped to 21 per 100,000 people admitted to the ER had CHS. And then it jumped to 32 visits per 100,000 people across all age groups last year. And then it's if you look at people aged 16 to 24, the rate has climbed to 600 per 100,000 individuals coming into the ER are coming in with cannabis hyperemesis syndrome.
Whoa.
With uncontrolled
that
vomiting.
Was a way bigger number suddenly.
Because they went to the, like, age group. Because they're saying it's actually young people.
So within the younger population,
yes,
your chances are much higher.
Much higher because that's
more likely smoking.
Like, that's when I was like, university for me, it was like, babe, I'm high all the time. So it's, you know, those are like the ages where people are smoking more weed. Plus, weed is 10 times more potent it is now than it was in the 1970s. So they're just kind of like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
I find
I
this
guess
fascinating.
All this kind of research has popped up because of the legalization around the world. Like, in different places, they're able to now be like, what is the difference in
these studies have only been in Ontario, Alberta, and Colorado. Like, you know what I mean? Like, India's probably like, well, we don't have much weed.
But what about, like, Amsterdam? Like, why haven't they been on these studies for, like, decades?
Yeah. There's something about even Europe where they don't care as much. Like,
they're just way more chill.
Canadians have just really decided, like, we don't have a culture, so maybe it's going to be weed. Like, it just feels like, even when I went to Amsterdam, it felt like they were laughing at the tourists and, like, not doing it.
It's interesting that you mentioned it's in young people. Like, maybe to give you a little break from talking, I can talk about one of the studies I looked at in teens.
Yeah.
This is not about this syndrome, but I just sort of thought, like, okay, what are the negative, what's some research out there that highlights, like, what are negative aspects of marijuana? And a lot of times it comes up with, like, it has a pretty negative impact on young people's brains. So is it cool if I
That's why
that?
I'm dumb. I honestly
oh,
think
yeah,
that's why.
We know.
I know. It's like whenever
we all get together, like, and talk about that.
Yeah. Like, when I start a task, like, have I ever finished it? No, because I smoked weed in grade 10 for the rest of my life.
I can't believe. Is that when you actually started?
Yes.
No, I'm not judging.
No, I don't know why I just, like, got, like, yeah, no, it's a shame. It's a shame.
I
look,
like,
back and I'm so frustrated because I'm like, ugh, I wish. I remember the first time I, like, got high and, like, came home and, like, a way that all my friends were already doing. And it was like, so I felt so behind. It was like grade 10. And then, like, I remember my dad coming to the basement, me being so happy, like, that's my dad. And then, like, pretending to do homework. And he was like, you've never really done homework in the basement. I was like, I thought I'd try it out. And was like staring at a math equation and was like, this is not going to work.
I've literally never, like, had that experience of being high around my family. I'm way too anxious to be like, if I was going to get high, I was like, I have to be not around my family.
Yeah, you still can't even get high and walk our dog. You're crazy.
I also, in front of my family, I, like, don't drink or anything. Occasionally, what? I might. Like, not like they all drink, but, like, I,
yeah,
just,
you
mean,
don't.
I don't know why. It's not, every now and then I might have a drink, but, like, if I'm drinking, it's like I want to, like, party with my friends. You know what I mean?
And that's so interesting.
Okay, fine. Like, maybe this Christmas I'll get absolutely smashed.
Yeah, no, I'm like, I think
fam.
That's something else.
It's not that I never have, but it's that same idea of, like, I don't know. Being around family has always been like, this is not where I do this.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd rather, like, be with my friends. And I grew up in, like, a probably, well, not necessarily a stricter environment, but, you know, it was like, I just didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And so it's so crazy to me. You'd be like, oh, my friends were going home high. It's like, that's probably why I was like, I cannot do this. If I was to drink in high school, it was like, I'm staying over at somebody's house.
Yeah. I didn't want to, to be honest, I was such a prude in my group. I was square and I was gay.
Yeah,
and trying,
right.
I was gay.
Bending over left, right, and center every chance you got.
Wait,
when
are
you
calling
came
me
out.
A slut?
Yes.
Wow. Well, there's nothing wrong. We are not slut shaming on this podcast.
No.
This is when I was not gay. So I was making it with girlies left, right, and center.
Honey, that's problematic. You were always gay.
No.
Born
I'm
this way.
Bi erasure.
You were born this way, girl.
You need to talk a little bit about teen years because we have side noted so hard.
Okay. All right. So this study found that teens who use cannabis recreationally are 2 to 4 times as likely to develop psychiatric disorders. Which are, you know, things like depression and suicidality.
Oh, God damn it.
Cannabis use puts teens at risk for problem behaviors, including poor grades, trouble with the law, long-term negative consequences that keep them from developing fully. Something that really shocked me. One in 10 adolescents, between 12 and 17 years old.
Yeah.
One in 10 of them are using cannabis in America.
One in 10.
Yeah. So 10%.
That shocked you?
Yeah. I guess
was like, my high school like so pothead? Like I for guess sure me, line us all up. There's at least 3 in 10.
But you think
at my high school, yeah. I was the gay type A1 and I was still hacking weed.
Well, okay, 1 in 40 meet the criteria for cannabis addiction.
Yeah.
Between 12 years old and 17. I guess 17 is so different than. Yeah.
No, you're not. Yes. Well, I went to university when I was 17 because I'm so young.
No, you didn't.
I did. I'm born September 25th. Do you want to do the math? Do you really want to do the math? I was 17. I immediately turned 18, but I was 17 in the first semester. Thank you.
So crazy. And yeah, you were an absolute drug addict.
I'd been smoking weed for 3 years. This guy over here started crying when he saw me smoking weed because oh my God, we can't even go there. Continue.
No, it's because you were absolutely drugged
out. No, it's because you were like a Catholic who was stunted. Absolutely stunted.
Yeah, that is true. Okay. Just for everyone's reminder, to have cannabis use disorder, there's like 11 criteria you have to meet,
okay,
including things like inability to reduce consumption, constant cravings, relationship and social problems. So there's like, you have to hit a certain amount, or at least 2 of the 11.
I have so been there.
If you have
there.
Both those things I mentioned, you have it.
No, I don't. Oh my God. No, I'm not saying you. Throw a
I wasn't
table.
Saying you.
Oh.
I was saying if you have both
wow,
those,
I got
you
defensive,
have it.
Which I think might be a sign. Yeah. But no, in this.
Before this pod, you kept going, let's just have an edible.
Well, I will be having an edible after this, but that's because I'm going to a concert. But I am definitely in a phase of not weed. Anyways, if anyone
wants
to know.
That's a lie.
No, what? That is true. I haven't. The whole time we were in Taiwan, I couldn't. I was legally not allowed to because of the country. And then I just feel like it hasn't really.
We've been home for a week.
Yeah.
Jet-lagged, and you've definitely had it.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you have.
I had it once because you forced me to and I threw
I
up.
I didn't force you to.
Okay, so this is another side note, but for whatever reason, you did force me. Mitch wanted to have this like. Again, Christmas night, he's psychotic. And he wanted this
don't
special
Christmas.
Wait, is it bad to say it because I'm canceled? Is that what you mean? Or just because you like
just
Christmas?
It's mean to say psychotic.
Okay, sorry. He has like weird relationship with Christmas. No, that's verging on psychosis. Okay. How else do you want me to say this?
Okay, I'm so sorry we're on this side note, but I need to clarify. I have a perfectly normal westernized relationship.
No, you don't.
I like Christmas. All I wanted to do was put up the Christmas tree.
The proper way to experience Christmas as a Westerner is to challenge and question the capitalist notion that is Christmas. The normal thing to do is to think, this is a little messed up. Christianity is a colonial, horrible construct that has caused every issue in the world.
Well,
that's the proper way. And every time you hear Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, your eyes should twitch and you should think, what are we doing? But this guy over here is Favu, Favu, Favu. Every hour of the day.
That's not
touching
true.
Greenery in our home, tearing up. I'm like, okay, so he has a psychosis. It's fine.
That's not true. I have a very normal, I do think about those things, first of all. Second of all, sometimes it's nice to just enjoy something that you was a tradition as you grew up, okay? You can question something and simultaneously just like pause to enjoy life and be excited to hang out with family and friends.
You're right. I love smelling the pine as I walk downstairs.
How do we
and I that? Love Christmas ornaments. I love it. I love it. I'm not.
But
I'm
you
just
were about
kidding.
To explain how you barf.
Okay. So yeah. So Mitch was like, we need to smoke weed. And as I just said, I have not been smoking weed in the last
for
I'm
a
just
week.
Months. I'm off of it a little bit and I'm probably going to get back on Zoom. But for now I'm off. He hands me this vape. I inhale. You, I guess, have been vaping more, so you knew to do little, you call it sipping?
Not vaping more, just in
Mitch,
my
just let it happen. You've been vaping more than me. What did you call it? Sipping?
Vapes are freaky because sometimes it feels like nothing is going in. So I'm always like, really careful.
I sip
it.
And I did a normal,
you gulped it.
I'm Greg.
You gulped
I,
it.
And I gulped it, and it obliterated my esophagus, hurt my lungs. I immediately started coughing, and then I threw up into my Christmas mug, and then I ran to the bathroom while Cher's new Christmas album, which is a creepy, no, I shouldn't say creepy, but the music was not, and I vomited in our bathroom while listening to Christmas music, and...
And we were actually like, do you need to go to the hospital? I didn't know what was happening.
I needed to shut my eyes for about 20 minutes, and then I came back, and we had a gorgeous night. And anyways, that was not cannabis hyperemesis syndrome. That was me throwing up because I hit a vape.
But we were like, that's another thing that happens. Like, you'd never experienced that before, but definitely I've burnt my throat before, especially with the real joint.
I was like, did I burn my throat? Horrifying.
Or your lungs, right? Like, they hurt.
Yeah.
And we were trying to look up, like, is there a condition related to, like, maybe even cigarette smokers may know, like, if you breathe in too hard and you sometimes get that, like,
it really wasn't
harsh cough.
All the information was about, like, chronic burning. There was only one, like, you know those horrible, like, WebMD things where you're like, okay, this is like AI bot made this. They were like, gurgle honey water, and I was like, okay, that's not gonna help, but whatever. So anyways, I have vomited recently from weed, but not that reason.
Okay, we'll come back to the study. Okay. Sorry for the tangent, but it did lead us to that other awful thing that is breathing in smoke. It's not good. It hurts. Okay, back to the teens. So teens who had non-disordered cannabis use, so they use it, but they're not necessarily considered,
I'd like to think that was me in high school.
They were 2 to 2.5 times more likely to have adverse mental health outcomes and behavioral problems compared to teens who didn't.
Okay.
And then the teens who had addiction or were fall under cannabis use disorder were 3.5 to 4.5 times more likely to have these issues. So obviously it has a big impact on kids. This caveat was this study was observational. They're obviously not like giving kids weed to try.
Yeah. I mean, like, I was part of that like Canadian census data. So they would always ask me how much weed I was smoking. And then they would ask me a bunch of stuff to know that I had like
other, are you
issues.
Anxious? Are you whatever? Do you get in trouble with the law?
Yeah, like, there'd be easy ways to find out. But
there are limitations to observational studies, right? It's not trying to say this is causation, but it is like, here's a correlation.
So not to be like absolutely problematic on a science podcast, but from my anecdotal, as someone who was gay and panicked in high school and just was like, stoners seem like the safest option. So I hung out with the stoners, you know, learned to snowboard, like did it all. I'm like, these people a little bit.
like
a lot of my stoner friends, I'm like, yeah, you're yelling. Like the behavioral issues were really? There. Do you know what I mean? It was like,
yeah, why did they then like, seem the safest?
It was like the jocks and whatever who were obviously smoking weed, but I'd say less because they had to like go perform to their hockey practice or whatever.
Yeah.
The non-snowboarder skateboarders who I was with, they just didn't seem necessarily like they were doing their homework a little more, and they were a little, maybe they weren't
the ones
like,
who didn't smoke. Is that what you're saying?
Okay. But they were still, you know, like the cool like dudes. I was with like the quote unquote cool dudes who were the potheads. And I just, I'm like, would sometimes be like, that was an irrational way that you just yelled at me.
You
anger
are
management.
Such a bro. I think you actually deep down that you were being called, you're a bro. You're a bro.
They, are you kidding? They would still be like, so you sound like a girl, and I'd be like, that's so weird, like what? It's because I'm funny, and like back out of the room slowly. Like, I wasn't blending in fully. It was just the safest option.
Deep down, I think you're a bro at heart.
But what does that have to do with anything? I'm
because I think you belong to that group and you have all those same problems. You have all these troubles with the law.
You
want to
talk
behavior.
Anger management, Mitchell Moffitt?
Okay, you expose me on the pod.
Wow. No, yeah. I can't finish a task or whatever. Okay, continue.
I was going to say something else, but I forget. Oh, I was just going to be like, I can't believe like you, to me, no straight male was safe in high school. Like, I didn't have any straight male friends.
Well,
maybe like one or two who like were the alternative, like kind of like they were like either the nerds of the straight world or like, do you know what I mean?
But at a certain point, I was like,
the
okay,
other people who were
if
like
I'm
outcasts.
Just with girlies with this voice, it's a little obvious. It's like you're gay. So I was like, I need to figure out how to not just be with the girlies all the time. And thankfully, I am like social and like have enough of like a sense of humor that guys would want to be around me. And then I like swindled my like girlies and like I got to be like the liaison between the girlies and the guys. And I was like kind of attracted to girls. So like things worked out. And then, and I had fun because we were able to smoke weed. Maybe like the weed really is.
Brought you together.
I was able to be like, well, we're all on the same page and this is giggle, giggle. And
well, that's nice. That's very sweet. Maybe it's because you were from Toronto and there was less queer hating. I don't know.
Like maybe.
But maybe not. I feel like kids are kids and our teens are teens. And
yeah.
Cool.
No, I had people absolutely full.
I 100% only hung out with girls in high school. Like maybe there'd be like boys, a few boys here and there, but like every day at lunch I would be sitting with a group of girls. Only.
Wow.
As the only man.
Definitely preferred. Like whenever it was just me and the girls, I was like, oh, I am relaxed and we are gabbing.
But people would comment on it. It brought me a lot of trauma. So that's why I joined the band or whatever you call it, like choir, so I could go to lunch and not have to eat lunch in the cafeteria.
Oh my God, Mitch, that's so sad. Being gay is such a trauma.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Like to have a refuge, I had to like sign up for lunchtime.
Like high school is absolute hell, but when you're gay, you're like,
I hated high school.
It had to be worse.
High school's so bad as a gay person.
I kind of like liked it.
I know. I hate that about you.
Well, I didn't like it. Obviously, like there were like random older guys walking down the hall, just like faggot, and I'd be like, oh, that's so weird that they would say. But like in my grade, yeah, I swindled hard. Like I worked hard, including like having girlfriends. And everyone was just like, wow. Anyways, continue.
Do you have anything else to say about that? Like,
okay, just that the only cure is that you need to cut out cannabis or decrease the potency of your cannabis. If you have, like, if you end up in the hospital with this, they're going to be taking this seriously and talking to you. But, it gradually starts to happen. And one of the first indications...
As in, like, your nausea starts getting worse and worse and worse.
Yes, the first indication is that you are not hungry without consuming weed. Hmm. That's the first indication that you might be going towards CHS.
I mean, I want to put a caveat out there because I know somebody who weed helped them be able to eat. So like, obviously you can come from other issues where like...
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like just because you're not... weed may actually be a useful tool for people who are having troubles with like eating enough food.
Yeah, this might
like
be... This is about
but
being aware.
If your habits are changing, you're consuming a lot of weed and suddenly your diet's changing.
But no, but even if that person, like it's still worth being aware this exists because they could still be at a high risk of
like that reversing.
So if they start to have like uncontrollable vomiting and scromiting, it's better that they know about this and think like what
some other random thing happening to me. It's a good place to look.
So that person just might want to be aware that if you are able to, when you start to lose your appetite outside of marijuana is like one of the first signs. And then that the only way it will go away, and they'll talk to you about this in the hospital, is to slowly decrease the potency. Right. Increase CBD is like one theory, but it's not for sure.
Okay.
And that's the only way it's going
to
stop.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely also important for people to realize and remember that it like quitting marijuana is very difficult.
Yes.
You can see like we've done videos on this and so many comments are like, it was so hard to even minimize, right? Like you're going to experience a lot of not just like withdrawal symptoms, whether that's headaches, whether your sleep gets absolutely fucked and destroyed and you're having like awful times. So just know if you're in this territory, like it's going to be hard either way.
Yeah. And it is worth, I think it's just important we all know about this. So if it happens, you go to the hospital.
Yeah.
But
it's still like not that many people it's happening to in the grand scheme. But obviously if it's like a trend going higher and higher. And, if weed's getting more and more important, more and more access to it. So
I haven't walked down the street in Toronto without smelling weed in, I don't know, 4 years.
Like ever.
Like
maybe.
Ever.
Even before it was legalized.
And then I'm always like, is it me? And then I'm like, oh, it's not. It's that person. Oh, it's that person. Oh, it's that family. Oh, it's like everyone is just hacking it back.
The two other things I was going to bring up that are sort of like negative sides of marijuana outside of like literally scromiting is a high correlation with anxiety. So social anxiety disorder is correlated with cannabis use disorder. Wow. Weekly cannabis use is significantly related to fear or avoidance of social situations and interfering with relationships. I think that feels obvious. Like anxiety, like a lot of people don't enjoy weed because it makes them really anxious.
Yeah.
But I think chronic use, people don't realize. Like they may be social people and maybe doing it once in a while doesn't give them anxiety, but perhaps it can create a problem for you. And then the other study I found that was really interesting is a lot of people think that marijuana makes you creative. And so they actually did a study on this and realized it
does not increase your actual creativity, but it does increase how creative you think you are.
Oh, for sure. Right? That's like the classic, like, I had the best idea ever. Then you wake up next day and you're like, oh, my idea was like
just completely normal.
It was like, what if we cut potatoes thin and fry them? And it's like, chips? That's been invented.
Yeah. Like, obviously, they in the cannabis condition, people were like a lot happier and more joyful when they were being creative. But when it came to actually judging the creative works, there was a panel of judges that didn't know if they were high or not, and they were like judged.
That's
basically
like bad though for me.
What is?
Because I love to get stoned and do creative things because it makes the act of doing it more fun.
Yeah, I mean, lots of people do that.
But then, like, when I paint, it's like sometimes I'm like, objectively, it's like not any better or worse when it's
the actual painting.
So this is like a really, I'm like really spilling my personal stuff here, but like I'm really like unsure like what is like better when I'm high or when I'm not high while I paint, and I've been painting.
Do you mean like is the process better or worse, or do you mean is the final result of the actual painting better or worse?
Both. So like I find it's hard, like obviously like whenever I'm like let's get high and paint, it's like I get excited and then I go in, and sometimes I paint for a lot longer. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I'm not high, it's like slay and like the time passes and I love it. But a lot of times it's like I set an alarm for an hour and when that alarm comes, I'm like, thank God. And I drop my, whereas when I'm stoned, I'm kind of like, I'm not kidding. Like when I'm stoned, I picture like if someone were to see me, it would be like, sha-da-da-da. it would be like all this classical music and I'm literally like, and I'm like, and there's like paint like on my clothes and I'm just like, and it's just like I'm feeling it and like something is like being channeled from above like through me, and
well,
then I
great.
Like look at it and I'm like, wow. And then I don't really sometimes have that feeling with that weed.
I mean, I'm sure that's why a lot of people use it to be creative, even though they may not technically, like maybe that's the difference. You may not actually be technically any more creative, but if it's actually making you do it more because you like the creative process more, that's pretty powerful.
Then the other
a lot
thing
of creative
I'll say
people
that,
use weed for that.
Example. Yeah. And then I will honestly say, like, sometimes when I'm like not high and then the hour, I'm like, ugh, finally the hour's done. And I look at the painting, I'm like, well, that was a much better hour than when I'm high. Like, like sometimes I am like, that was
like more efficient.
Yeah. So
whatever. You can do both. You know, you can have both.
And painting is a weird practice. Like it would probably be easier to differentiate if you were doing like writing or like, you know, like looking
something more cognitive.
I think if you look back on your writing the next day, you might be like, that doesn't make sense or whatever. But with painting, it's so,
I feel they're probably similar.
Yeah.
Right. Like you might sometimes look at your painting and be like, oh, that's kind of messier than I thought it was. And you might sometimes read your writing and be like, ooh, I was high.
Yeah.
But there might be times when you're like, oh, I wouldn't have felt confident enough to write that down or paint that way. Or like, definitely I have had profound thoughts when I'm high, and then or I'll listen to a podcast and be like, that was so amazing. And sometimes I listen back sober and I'm like, oh, it's not as amazing. Yeah. But there's something kind of obviously interesting and nice about like
feeling
having
that
moment and being like, wow, this feels so impactful.
Yeah.
And it sticks with you. Like it's kind of like how when you're a kid, you watch movies and things stick with you, and then you age and you watch them and you're like, that is not really.
Well,
that.
That's why people like marijuana. It makes experiences that aren't novel feel novel. That's why I love it, because I'm obsessed with novelty, blah, blah, blah. So there's obviously a reason why everyone in Canada is addicted to weed, but there are, you know, scromiting issues coming down the pipeline, and we need to know about
We need to hear scromiting more often.
Well, I really hope to God I don't have to see or experience.
You almost scromited when you barfed.
But I didn't.
Oh!
I guess I kind of did, actually. I think I was screaming because I was just like,
like in utter shock.
Like, what the fuck?
That was so weird. Anyway, maybe we'll end on that note. Do you have anything else to add?
No, I don't.
Then why did you actually?
I don't know. I just forgot we were on a podcast, honestly, and was like, oh yeah, this has to end. Cool. Slay all day.
Thanks for listening. I hope you don't get mysterious.
Syndrome. Just be careful out there, folks.
Thanks for listening.
I'm actually about to eat an edible. Okay, bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.